Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians, truth, righteousness, peace, and faith. There is a very real spiritual battle. We are now obviously reached this text in our study in Ephesians as Paul boldly addresses this, written from a prison cell. And yet I don't see him as a prisoner of war. He's exactly where God wants him. He really is quite victorious, as a matter of fact. Interesting how we perceive our life. When you know God, you put your faith in him that whatever befalls your path, God is still on the throne. And you can rest in that. And he is with you and he still has purpose for you. Please reflect on that. What can I do in this life? What could Paul do in a prison cell, and we're studying his writings 2,000 years later? You tell me. I don't know, but God can take the simplest task and multiply it. You may give a cup of cold water to someone, and you may not be the one to see it, but that person may go on to do something else. Never underestimate God. Always do right. Paul tells us through the Holy Spirit how to equip ourselves. Let us read verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God protects us, but we must do our part, and He has afforded us the armor necessary for this spiritual battle. Verse 13, take unto you. We must do something. The whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. We have responsibilities. And so it is we must apply ourselves to the spiritual battle and to put on the armor that he has provided for us. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are truly wrestling a spiritual battle. Therefore, to fight with fleshly weapons will be complete waste, futile. Loss is certain. We must take on spiritual armor. Oh, that we could grasp this. When you look around and you see the evil in this world, the answer is spirituality. Because the problem is sin. We must take on spiritual armor. Live by faith in the spiritual armor. You'll benefit from the power of God. You get into an airplane and you sit down, and by the power of that airplane, you will go places you could never do by foot. When you rest in the Lord, things can happen in your life that you would never do in the flesh. And therefore, when we place ourselves in God's will and in His armor, we can stand against the attacks of the devil. Are they real, folks? He tells us there are still going to be attacks of the devil. And it tells us we're going to be able to stand if we keep our armor. Folks, the battles of the devil are very real. I trust you could all probably tell stories. Consider the flow. Chapters 1 through 3 is doctrine. Chapter 4, Paul starts admonitions for daily living, walking worthy. He emphasizes unity among believers, proper behavior for all Christians, proper behavior for husbands and wives, then for children, then for fathers, then for servants, then for masters, and then finally, everybody is a Christian soldier. Wherever your lot in life is, take this armor. It is satisfactory for wives, for husbands, for children, for servants, for fathers, for masters. This is it. It is one that fits all and satisfies and protects wherever your lot in life leads. You are in the spiritual battle whether you realize it or not. You may be asleep, you may be oblivious, but therefore you're a casualty of the battle. You've been deceived by the enemy. You need to wake up. Some of you are quite aware of the battle. And it is a battle. And does it not wear you down? And does it not give you stress headaches sometimes? Let's be honest. And David had to cry out many times in the Psalms, cry out unto God. And the battle can be very, very heavy. The armor does not prevent the battle. It helps us to get through it. Be holy in your portion of life wherein God has placed you. We consider that Israel fell. They were not lights and darkness as they were to be. And now it is the church has been brought to the forefront to be God's tool in this dispensation. We are not made over Israel. We are a new creation. The body of Christ here. And we are not to fail as Israel did. But we must take on the armor and walk worthy. Let us look at our key verses for tonight, 14 to 16. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The outline's pretty simple. Verse 14a is truth, 14b is righteousness, 15 is peace, and 16 is faith. There are more aspects to this armor. We will see this next week. And they are all spiritual. And they are all worthy of defending us from the devil. He is subtle. He appears as a holy one. And he is powerful. Folks, I want you to understand this. The devil studies you. And he knows you better than you know you. It's kind of like the whole of this computer system now. They can tell everything you bought when you bought it. And they can tell pretty much when you're due back in the store to buy more of that. And they know more about you than you wish they didn't know. They know more about you than you know about you. They know where you buy your gasoline, and they know basically, therefore, where you drive around town and where you shop and what you buy and on and on and on. This is the world we live in. Does that bother you? I'll tell you what ought to bother you. God knows more. He knows your thoughts. They only know where you spend your money. He actually knows your thoughts and your intents. The devil studies you and he knows exactly where you're weak. This armor is compared to that of the common Roman soldier, which they would have certainly understood, and it is therefore to the common believer. The girdle of truth, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. The midsection of the body is covered by the girdle. The garments are held in place so that the soldier could move freely in battle. When he would gather up the tunic that he was wearing, or the robe, whatever it may have been, you gird it up for free mobility. Having your loins girt about with truth. I do believe it is significant that God puts truth first. What did God do first in the book of Ephesians? Truths of doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Get your thinking straightened out. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. and the truth shall let you have, therefore, the freedom of movement to know right from wrong, to be able to discern situations, knowing truth in this evil world, and the devil constantly wants to deceive. Therefore, get truth. Look what Solomon said, and it's all throughout the Proverbs, this principle. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Old Testament would say wisdom. We would say Christ-likeness in the New Testament. And with all thy getting, get understanding. It's more precious than rubies. It's more precious than uncertain riches. If you don't have truth, how can you stand? How can we hope to accomplish anything? It is the Word of God that is truth. Many mock, many reject. We find it precious. And they can mock all they want, they can deny all they want, but truth is truth. And truth will always prevail. And did you know that truth is very narrow? 2 plus 2 is very narrow. 4. But we are living in a society now where people just have this attitude that, well, truth almost seems like whatever you want it to be. Truth is, by definition, very narrow. When you take a true-false test, there's one true answer and there's 10,000 false answers. Right? By definition, truth is very narrow, and this extends to all field of academics. Did you know that gravity pulls things down? If I let go, it's going one way. It's very narrow. It extends to science, to physics, mathematics, the list goes on, and extends to spiritual truth. Truth is narrow. Quote, stand therefore, prepare yourselves for combat, having your loins girt about with truth. He had told them before to take the whole armor of God and to put on the whole armor. Having got all the pieces of it together and the defensive parts put on, they were then to gird themselves close to their bodies with the girdle and instead of a fine ornamented belt such as the ancient warriors used. They were to have truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth of God. Unless this be known and consciously believed, no man can enter into spiritual warfare with any advantage or prospect of success. By this alone we discover who our enemies are and how they come on to attack us. And by this we know where our strength lies. And as the truth is great and must prevail, we are to gird ourselves with this against all false religion and the various winds of doctrine by which cunning men and insidious devils lie in wait to deceive. And so it is, the first thing he starts with is truth. And it logically flows into, therefore, holiness, righteousness, which is the next part of our armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Truth, as we take it in and we process it in the brain and the Holy Spirit leads us, that truth will lead to righteous living. So it is a logical flow. The breastplate protects the vital areas of the body up in the chest and the heart area. This is what is being protected by the breastplate of righteousness. The heart is the center of the physical life. Therefore, it must be protected. And what do we often see in the scripture? The heart is your thinking. It is the center of your spiritual life, your thinking. As the pump, the blood pump in your chest is called a heart, the Bible also refers to your thinking as the heart. You must protect your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. Because what you think is what you are. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He doesn't think in his blood pump, he thinks in his brain. This is what you must guard and protect with the breastplate of righteousness. Your thinking defines you. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart, your thinking, your righteousness, protect it with the breastplate of righteousness. Keep your heart, your thinking with all diligence. Why? Out of it are the issues of life. Your thinking. Guard your thinking. The girdle is truth. Truth establishes your thinking, and you protect it because it leads you to righteousness. Therefore, have your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, the result of truth. Hence, there's a progression here. Then, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. This world cries for peace, and yet there is no peace, and there will be none till the Prince of Peace comes. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet are our foundation. And do they not logically take us through the Christian walk that we can walk worthy? Our feet. Wherever we go, we ought to be peacemakers in the midst of this sin-sick world. Our walk in our life, Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy. And a worthy walk, of course, is very inclusive, but here we see peace is a vital part of that. Quote again, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's it mean? It means walking in accordance with the gospel. You tell men that you've been saved by the grace of God, that you have peace with God, very well. Let it show. Let your walk be in accordance with that. People should see as we walk that we truly mean what we say. And we walk worthy, in peace. Do you ever see people who have quick temper, short fuse, quick to anger? Did you know that anger is not part of the Christian armor? A short fuse is not part of the Christian armor. We rather ought to be people of peace. Ungodly anger only makes things worse. It does not protect one from the attacks of the devil. So it is. The Apostle Paul is writing from a prison cell. Consider what he wrote to Timothy, a young preacher struggling in the ministry. I perceive Timothy was about ready to quit. I can't take the spiritual battle. Look how Paul responded to him. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord, he's referring to Timothy the pastor, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, gentle, peaceful. He didn't scream at him, would you be peaceful? No. He demonstrated what he was telling him, be gentle. He was being gentle to Timothy. Timothy, you be gentle to other people. God wants Christians to be peaceful, gentle. Written from a Roman prison to one who's faltering in his service. All that I've put up with, and this is how you're going to respond. You're going to quit the ministry. Timothy, come on. You can do it. So it is. We have truth leading to righteousness, and our feet are going to take us on the walk, the proper Christian walk in this life, which is one of peace. And then the shield of faith, above all. I want you to circle that, underline it. Try memorizing it this week, above all. Take the shield of faith. Do you understand how important faith is? Have faith in God. With God, all things are possible. God knows absolutely where you are at in life. He knows the trials, tribulations. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your sins. And we can sit here and say, you know what? It's my sinful life that has brought me to this time and place. Maybe that's true. because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We fell short before we knew Christ, and even as we serve Him, we still have a long way to go. And the truth is, we make decisions and do things that have gotten us to where we are, but did you know that God is still with us wherever we go? Did you know that He loves you and wants a relationship? And He's not ready to just say, I am so tired of you, I'm going somebody else. No, He made no mistakes, and He does not give up. And you must rest in that and take the shield of faith. Why? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Consider this shield that the Roman soldier would have carried. Quote, this is not the little round shield, but it refers to the large rectangular shield behind which a soldier could be safe from the fiery darts of the enemy. Often Roman soldiers would soak these leather shields in water before battle. This enabled the shields to be more effective in quenching the flaming missiles of the enemy. In ancient Roman warfare, the testudo, or tortoise formation, was a formation used commonly by the Roman legions during battles, particularly sieges. In the testudo formation, the men would align their shields to form a packed formation, covered with shields on the front and top. The first row of men, possibly excluding the men on the flanks, would hold their shields from the height to their shins to their eyes, so as to cover the formation's front. The shields would be held in such a way that they presented a shield wall on all sides. The men in the back would place their shields over their heads to protect the formation from above, balancing the shields on their helmets, overlapping them. We take our shield of faith. And as Christian brothers, Paul emphasized how many times we studied in this, unity, unity, unity. And what we need to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a unified group, I'll hold my shield of faith and you hold your shield of faith, and together we're going to be a formidable foe for the devil to attack. Because you're going to help me be safe and I'm going to help you, and we help each other as we stand strong as a unified group. Because the truth is, fiery darts are coming at us. This is not a game. The individual soldier has a shield of faith, united with other soldiers, and form a powerful unit supporting each other's. And so it is with believers collectively, how we can stand strong. But this is why the devil wants to get discord in the church. So-and-so didn't say hi to me right. They didn't do this, and so-and-so didn't do that. You know what? You're probably right. You're right. So-and-so slighted me. You're right. Now what? Now what? This is why we must stand in faith. We must be ever ready to forbear one another, Paul said. Oh, that we would put this whole book together. Do you realize in 6 simple chapters he's told incredible behavior in the church age? We have got a lifetime study in the book of Ephesians. Above all, have faith. But dear God, it seems you've forgotten me or whatever. Take the shield of faith. God is still on the throne. And Hebrews 10:38, the just, born again people shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. God wants us to live by faith. And God is not pleased when we drop the shield of faith and we go off and throw a temper tantrum. How could David run across that battlefield at that giant Goliath? He had faith. Do you realize what David risked on that battlefield? Even if he died, boy, oh boy. I mean, God's reputation was on the line. Do you realize that? Not being funny. God, I truly believe you have called me to run across that battlefield. If David would have failed, God would have been, well, where was your God? Quote, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield covered all the rest of the armor. It's the shield of confidence in God. That is what faith is. It's not the faith. It is not what you believe, but how you believe. It is faith in the sense of confidence, trust, going to meet the foe with your trust, not in yourself, but in the living God. Here is a preacher who stands up to preach the gospel to an audience and says, well, I have an old sermon here. I have used it 72 times already. It's nearly worn out, but I think it will do for this audience. Yes, I think I'll use it again. The devil hears that and he says, I'll show you that you have come up against a greater foe than you realize. The meeting is a poor, wretched failure, and the preacher says, I don't understand it. I have preached that sermon any number of times. I wonder what the trouble was. It was that the confidence of the preacher was in himself instead of in the living God. I don't care how many times you've preached on a text, if you dare to stand up before an audience when you go to preach the word without getting your message fresh from the living God and going out in confidence in Him instead of in yourself, you will be a failure. I want that lesson to be impressed upon my own heart. That is why I'm putting it to you so strongly, having the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There we have an illustration of a preacher having confidence in messages of old. But folks, are there things in your life that are routine? Well, why bother to pray about that? Because I've done it many, many times. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray throughout the day. Have faith in God, not in yourself. Lord God, I am now going to get in my car again. See me safely through this journey, even if you're going just to the grocery store. Because you don't know. The armor begins with thinking, which leads to righteousness. And the feet are our walk in peace. And the daily we live by faith. So it is. First, have your loins girt about with truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. Third, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And fourth, take the shield of faith. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God does not take away the battle. He gives you a way to go through it. And there will be times you will be experiencing more attacks of the devil, and there will be times there'll be less. But nonetheless, don't let him lull you to sleep. And again, not much is given here about this armor, and yet do you realize what is said is so profound? There's a lot of stuff there. And yet it was only in a few short verses. But the whole of the book of Ephesians is short. And it has enough there for our behavior, our conduct in the church, in personal life, and in interaction with other humans in such a short amount of text. We must apply ourselves to these profound truths, remembering that the devil is out there. He does not sleep. One of the greatest tactics of the devil is, we don't think he's there. Then you're very vulnerable. Be ever on guard.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.